The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a pen will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Salt, it's one of the more common substances here on this earth. If you think about it, the earth is covered with what? Three quarters with water, and most of that water is salt water. Think of the billions and billions of tons of salt there are simply in the oceans. But we all have salt in our house. Even if you have a low sodium diet, there's still salt there in the house somewheres. We need salt in our bodies. If we don't have enough salt in our bodies, our muscles can start to cramp. If we don't have any salt at all, we could die. It is essential that we have salt in our bodies in order to live. But there's many uses for salt as well, too. For countless ages, even before recorded history, salt was used in the preservation of food. That was about the main way to preserve any kind of foodstuffs for folks, was with the use of salt. Also, our northern brothers and sisters during this time of the year use quite a bit of salt because they throw it on the roads and the sidewalks so that the ice and the snow will melt so it's safe to travel. There's also one other very important use of salt, and that's making homemade ice cream. You know, you got to put a lot of salt around the ice, around the canister, so it melts that ice and it lowers the temperature of the water so that the ice cream will freeze. Have lots of uses for salt. Salt is necessary in our lives. But what if salt loses its saltiness? Now, pure salt, and most of the time that what's in our stores today is pure salt, or mostly pure salt. If it loses its saltiness, you have absolutely nothing left. But in older times, salt was mined, and in that mining process, the salt was not so pure. A lot of times there might have been some sand or some rock pieces or dirt in that salt as well. And so it could lose its saltiness, and all you would be left with is sand or dirt or little pebbles or rocks. And it wasn't good for anything except to throw it out on your driveway or your road and trample it underfoot. Salt is essential. Back in the ancient times, or actually not so ancient times, up until more modern times, salt was a very regulated commodity because it was so important. People did not have refrigeration and they needed the salt to preserve food. And so the production of salt, the mining of salt, the travel or the trade, the sale of salt was all very heavily regulated, and it was taxed. That was an easy way for governments to get tax off of people because everybody needed salt. There is a story of a man who was living in that day and in one of those cultures that salt was heavily regulated, and he did not like it. So he decided he was going to mine his own salt. And secretly, that's what he did. He found a place where salt was. He mined it, and he hid it away in a shed. The shed had a dirt floor, and he scooped out dirt, and he buried that salt under his floor. When he went back sometime later to dig up his salt, there was nothing left. The moisture had gotten into it, and all the saltiness had eroded away. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," as he talks to his disciples and to all those other people who are gathered here on that sermon, for that Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." And that's who the people were. They were the common, ordinary people of everyday life. They were fishermen, they were farmers, they were ranchers, they were shopkeepers, they were service people, they were housewives, they were probably children, they were probably old folks as well too, had all come. They were just normal everyday people that had come. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." But he means more to them, or he meant more to them than just that they're common or ordinary. He is actually saying that there's something essential about you. Just like salt is essential in our lives, you too are essential on this earth. God has created us all in his own image. He sees us as essential. There is a purpose. But also too, when Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, he is saying you have been blessed with something. You have been blessed with faith. Do not lose your saltiness. Do not lose your faith. Hold on to that. Hold strongly on to that. And there's even more to that as well. As Christ went to the cross and as he rose again from the dead, he purified us. He made us pure so that we are holy people of God, his holy children. And in baptism, that too reminds us of the cross and the resurrection, that we have been washed clean. The impurities has been washed out of us, and we have been left pure and made righteous in the sight of God. Our righteousness then surpasses that righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus mentions here in that sermon. You are the salt of the earth. But Jesus doesn't just stop there in his Sermon on the Mount. He goes on. He still has some more to say, and I still have some more to say too this morning. Jesus says also, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. We can have that attitude in our lives of it's me and God, that me and God are tight. I have a close personal relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I believe in him wholeheartedly, and I can sit under a tree out in the middle of the pasture and contemplate that relationship all day, and nothing else bothers me. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world matters. Nobody else matters because I have such a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Well, it's good to have a relationship with Jesus. It's good to have that close relationship with God. But if it stops there, it's like the salt that loses its saltiness. Jesus doesn't just stop with that whole idea of saltiness. Rather, he goes on and he says, you are the light of the world. And with a light, the purpose of the light is to shine. It's to give light so that we can see. If you go into a room and you flick that light switch, do you immediately go and unscrew all the light bulbs? No. Do you shut your eyes so that it's dark again? No, you don't do that. You turn the light on for a purpose so that you can see what you're going to do in that room. God's light is that same way, and Jesus calls us that light of the world. We are there to shine. We are there to shine for the glory of God. We are there to bring that light to other people so that they too can see. It can't be hidden. It's a part of who we are. And so if we just stop and say, I've got a strong relationship with Jesus Christ and do nothing about it, it's a dead faith. It's salt that's lost its saltiness. There's nothing to it. We have to let that light shine. There's a story about a woman, a young woman who escaped communist China a number of years ago. And she made it to Hong Kong, and there she was interviewed by some Western reporters, and they were asking her about her family. And she says, I really don't have any family left. The only one was my mother. And she was arrested because she was a Christian. And they arrested her and paraded her through town. She had to wear a dunce cap on top of her head because she publicly proclaimed that she was a Christian. And the reporter asked them, well, why didn't she just keep it to herself? Why didn't she just keep it quiet and not make it public? And the young woman says, well, how can she do that? The joy of Christianity has to come out. It has to be shown. How can you hide the love of God? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. That's who we are. We are the lights that shine in the darkness, the lights that bring that good word to other people so that they too can see. As Jesus says here in our gospel lesson, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.